I think the more that we can, for me, and I think this is really for others, but for me, like, how do I get more internal validation?
Yes.
Coming back to what we originally said, like, being jealous of this person, they have more money, they have more views, they have this, and chasing this outside stuff. And I think that's how I felt for a very long time. And I still, there's still moments it comes up.
Sure.
And then now it's like, how do I chase, or not even chase as much, but just be more like, okay, this is the internal validation I can give myself around the money, around my partner, around
the book.
The book was a big hero's journey for myself, I feel, and for the other people who are going to read it. And that, you know, that that internal validation, I think, is probably the ultimate thing for everyone. And so you used to tone down your happiness?
No, I think I was scared to grow because it meant that I would be unrelatable.
If you were just always happy all the time?
If I grew into the person I knew I was capable of becoming.
I think that's always a question. How did you know what you were capable of becoming? And how did you know when you were there?
There's just a sense of like being, you know, 13 years old and writing about time management. It's like, all right, this, I see the other 13-year-olds, like they're not writing about this. So like I knew it was within me. And then when I would do it, I would be like, oh, like now the older people in my life, they're like, some are like resentful about it. Some are supportive. Most are supportive. But then there's like the 40-year-old person who's like writing online saying that this is not a 13-year-old kid. So that was like, oh, maybe this is weird to do. So that's kind of why.
Do you think we all have these moments where someone like said something and it like made us retreat?
Yeah.
We can, and I think that's always a challenge. Who, when we say, you, someone said this to me a while ago. It's like, never say someone like you're lacking, you're not missing your full potential. You're not hitting your full potential. It's like, well, you don't know my potential.
you're never going to.
But I think for ourselves, how do we understand our own, how we actually want to be living? How, it's not even how we are living. How can we actually live? And I don't think we really know how great we can actually live. I remember a year and a half ago, I think I was just like living a great life that I was just, but I was living the other side of that great life. Like, oh, I'm frustrated with this great life, or I'm not even recognizing how great it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you to start the podcast, was like, what has changed in the last year and a half for you?
So let me just start with, I think about you often.
Okay, I love this. I don't know where we're going, but I'm excited for it.
So when I'm cycling, I cycle a lot. I've been taking, I do December, I give myself grace to relax a little bit and have a break, recharge on cycling. But when I'm cycling, almost every time I cycle, probably 90% of the times, I think about, what am I thinking about during the pain? And then I think about Danny Miranda and how we talked about that a little bit, and about what do you think about when you're going through the challenge in whatever aspect of life that is. And specifically, it's around cycling. And I one day finished cycling and I thought about you, and I was sitting at, this is in Spain, thinking of, at a coffee shop, or actually more likely at a bar. And it's like, so what are you thinking about when you're cycling and in pain? And I think about, wow, I'm fucking proud of myself.
Wow. Wow.
And I think about you because I remember we talked about it. It's like, what are you thinking about during the hard moments? And I think during that hard moment, I'm just telling myself like, man, I'm proud of you.
When did that realization switch?
I think you asked like what's different, and that's definitely been something where in the past really 18 months, 2 years, how am I doing more positive self-talk?
Yeah.
You saw me at some pretty, you know, the house party months later when we had our show, where I felt much more like floundering and unsatisfied and unsettled.
Yeah.
And so more positive self-talk and more just being proud of and being okay that like, yeah, I'm proud that I'm, this is fucking hard. And guess what? You can do this hard work, Noah. And I'm like, I think of the phrase, like, I'm built for this.
You are.
And yeah. And I do it. I'm like, nice. Go you. And sometimes I think we look around for others to recognize that. Like, okay, I got to the top of the hill and there's no one at the top of the hill. It's you. And it's like, hey, can I be okay just being proud of myself in that moment? And it's not immediate. It's not always, but it's definitely more often than not. And it's like a practice more than a perfection, I've noticed.
Dude, there, I tugged you to open the door and there's a profound difference in your energy. Like profound. And that speaks to all of the work that you've done on yourself to emotionally get into a better place. Like if you just, if somebody's attuned to energy and they listen to our first podcast and then they listen to this one and just in the first 5 minutes of how you're speaking, what you're saying, the energy is different. And it's really incredible. What have been some of the most important things other than the self-talk to get you to that place of greater peace and acceptance for yourself?
Oh, Danny, I thought you were going to ask about like what's for lunch? Like, the most, what do you,
what's your, the weather?
It's cold in Austin. What'd you do for New Year's? You know, I'm talking to the most researched podcast host there is, you know? Oh, yeah, I thought you're getting the hard-hitting questions. You know, in terms of the year and a half, really few years, I was trying to understand it. And I think when we're discussing things, we're looking for like the one silver bullet. Mm. Like even with AppSumo.com, we had probably our worst years in 14 years, the previous 2 years, 21 and 22. And then 23 was a banger of a year. Great revenue, great team happiness. Customers are happy. Partners are happy. Profit was, I think, $7 million, like best we've ever done.
Nice.
And someone's like, oh, so what's the one thing? And I was like, it's literally 1,000 tiny things compounded. It really is. It's from the way the support team talks to people, the way our operation team improved, how we even adjusted our pricing, how we adjusted when days of deals launched, the types of deals, how we did the copy. And so it's just like thing, the product, and then even the product team, and then the email team. And so you ask me for myself, I don't have one thing that's magically, but the high level probably buckets that I would say have helped in general. One, I have a partner that's just kind. You met her, Mafe.
Yeah.
So being with her, you know, like an example, my mom calls 2 days ago and she's giving me some feedback about something. And I'm like, Mom, can you just stop? And Mafe goes, don't be mean to mommy.
My heart.
Yeah, she's so good. She's so sweet. And it's just that's a positive influence. And I don't think partner selection is thought of enough.
Mm.
Right. So I just have a partner who's like constantly just being positive and optimistic. And so that's been a major bump in terms of the overall groundedness. Going to therapy regularly. Mm. So I go to therapy now, it's about once a month, but just having a regular outlet just to kind of talk about like either my drinking usage or if I'm doing drugs or if I'm avoiding drugs or how am I showing up to things. Like one of the biggest things we work on. And it's always funny, you know, when you hear shows or you hear people, they're like, I put in the work. And it's like, you know, when you're building a house, you see them fucking work.
Yeah.
You see them put up wood.
Yeah.
You see them dig the hole. You see them do the foundation. But when it's within yourself, I'm always like, what work do they do?
Yeah.
What's the work? And it's like, really, it's what's the hard things you're avoiding in yourself?
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And it's like, well, okay. But what about after that? It's like, no, that's the thing.
Yeah.
My old therapist, this old ass one, now he's not, the older previous one used to say like, the only way in is through.
Yes.
And every time, no, you're avoiding. You're a big avoider. And so it's been more going into that. So, for example, with my recent therapist in the past year, like one of my biggest fears is being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because as a child, I was left alone a lot by my father. He'd go to work and then I'd always be waiting anxious at home. And so it's not that I'm still not liking to be alone. I still like being active. But now I'm home. And this is before I got my partner, because I do think you have to be better with yourself to attract that person. You really do.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't think I would have been ready for her and vice versa. But I'm alone on a weekend and I'm like, oh, I'm so anxious right now. What do? I need to call someone and do something. And it's not that it's magically gone, but it's like, oh, this is that moment that we've been talking about. And it doesn't go away. It's just more, I'm okay with that and be like, all right, well, what's the practice we can do now? Let's laugh at it. Let's talk about it. Let's just be with it for a little bit. And then after a while, it kind of like dissipates and I don't have to go drink or I have to go do some activity just to be busy versus what I, you know, being comfortable more with myself. So yeah, the partner, the self, and just recognizing some of my problems that I want to work on. I'd say work, finding work that I actually want to be spending time doing.
Mm-hmm. Were you not in that place 18 months ago?
I think I was more frustrated with what was going on versus like, how do I actually want it to be? And then being the power or being, and I say power meaning like I'm this bossy person, just like, how do I want it to be? Right. Like I was thinking about today, I'm doing this video for $1 million weekend and it's a 48 hour challenge to make $2,700. Right. And so far I've made 5 and I'm kind of like, this guy's not doing this thing. I don't like what this guy's doing. And you ask, this is part of how things have changed. Mm. Part of it, number one, is just don't talk behind someone's back.
Mm.
Right. So I'm a little frustrated with someone. So I'm like, hey, how do we make this better for next time? How do we improve this? And it's so much easier. I keep wanting to talk shit behind his back.
Oh, interesting.
But just say it to his face and let's make it better. And don't be such a victim don't create the victimhood in your own situation, in your own book. Right. We like it. We all love it. Like, oh, my boss was this. My partner was this. This customer was that. I didn't get what it's like. Okay. Well, what are you going to do about it? What's your power that you can take back? That's what me and Adam Gilbert always talk about. And so I think with a lot of the work situation, it was like, how do I want my days to be? How do I want my work to be? And then how am I spending my days more doing that and less of feeling frustrated, like being in meetings or having to make decisions I don't want to make? And just doing this across like almost every aspect of my life. And then I would say ultimately, like, you know, tying in Mm-hmm. Have you interviewed
him? Yeah. I haven't interviewed him, but I've heard his name a bunch.
You got to have Tynan. So, okay. You know, I would say I'm influenced by positive people. Mm. I'm super. If you look at my friend group, you'd be like, wow, you have really great friends.
Yeah.
And I used to feel more self-conscious, like I wasn't worthy of being around them. Because I'm like, you guys are so cool.
Yeah.
And zooming out, and that's a separate topic, but zooming out of that, just being around people like Tynan, who's like, every time I talk to him, he's like, he always says the phrase, life is so great and it's going to get better.
Oh, I love that. That sounds like something I would say.
Dave Randy quote. And so it's been a lot of those things of having all these different pieces line up where it's not one magical moment that just like, I went to ayahuasca, which I've done a bunch of times, and like magically like puked and cried and now I love my daddy and everything. So it's like, you know, maybe the overall thing is just recognizing the challenges or the things you're not really satisfied in your life, changing them. And then with everything else, just maybe being okay with it.
Yeah.
Being okay that like, okay, today is challenging doing all this stuff, but I was trying to think of the other side of it. Like, wow, how cool is it? I'm making videos. I have a book coming out. I'm talking to you. I know it's going to be an interesting, challenging conversation. Like, pretty fucking cool day. And then I played, you know, I have pinball machines upstairs. I went and played pinball during a break. I was like, pretty good.
Yeah. The reality that you are living in is quite literally a different vibration than the Noah I spoke to 18 months ago. And it is so heartwarming because I felt like there was an urge or a want to be there, to be where you're currently at. I sensed in that moment. And it is so beautiful to witness. I really just have to reflect that back to you.
I was talking with Jerry Colonna. Jerry mm-hmm. Colonna wrote the book Reboot. We hired them at AppSumo. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about finding peace. You know, I think a lot of people want calm. Like, you hear this a lot lately. It's more of a common theme. Like, I want peace. I want calm. And Jerry's like, the problem is you can't find it. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, Jerry, it's not on Amazon. Like, I can't go on Tech Talk and just find like, oh, do meditation 4 minutes or have this morning routine and everything will be fixed. And I think the more that we can, for me, and I think this is really for others, but for me, like, how do I get more internal validation?
Yes.
Coming back to what we originally said, like being jealous of this person, they have more money, they have more views, they have this, and chasing this outside stuff. And I think that's how I felt for a very long time. And there's still moments it comes up.
Sure.
And then now it's like, how do I chase, or not even chase as much, but just be more like, okay, this is the internal validation I can give myself around the money, around my partner, around
the book.
The book was a big hero's journey for myself, I feel, and for the other people who are going to read it. And that, you know, that internal validation, I think, is probably the ultimate thing for everyone.
Yeah. What was writing a book, Million Dollar Weekend, out January 30th, it's coming right up, or... So, like, what was that process like in relation to yourself and helping you grow internally on your own self-worth?
Yeah, it is. I definitely felt like a fraud, I would say.
Yeah.
I felt like, oh, who am I to write a book? People have memoirs at 20. I was like, well, I'm 40. I was like, oh, who am I to teach others? And then I felt like maybe if I avoid it or hire people, then I don't have to really face it. And I think there's this great message that I kind of, it keeps coming back in my life. Like, what's the hard thing I'm avoiding? And you're going to avoid it, but eventually it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And when it happens, it's never as hard as it seems. And you're always feeling better afterwards. All you know what I'm talking about. So like AppSumo.com, which is a great example. I ran away from being CEO. I was afraid of being CEO.
Comes right back to you when we had that interview.
Yeah.
You were just in the start of it.
And I was made a lot of mistakes for 2 years. And eventually that I kept improving, kept getting feedback. That's a really important part. And then eventually it was like, oh, wow, I actually like this. Mm. Like, I want to be here. But I was avoiding the hard thing for a long time. And I would say the same thing kind of comes back with this book where I was like, I've always dreamed of having a book. I always thought that I can share like everything I've ever learned. And candidly, I wanted a hard project, a long, hard project. Most of our projects in our professional lives is like, I'm going to do a podcast. Okay, that's a week.
Right.
Or maybe it's a blog post. Maybe that's a month. Or maybe I'm going to do like a software project. That's like 2 months, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want a 3 to 4 year project. And I wish I had this book for myself. And so I thought by hiring Tal Roz, so I cold emailed him. I thought by hiring him, I could avoid doing the work.
Isn't that funny? Like when you're looking back on it? It's funny because you surpassed it. It wouldn't be funny if you were still living in it.
What happened was that we worked on the book. We went into the woods, all these things. And I thought by hiring the best business writer in the world, like literally 2 of the best business books in the past decade have been written by him. If I had him write it, then I don't have to do the hard work of really making sure the book is great because he'll do all the work and then I can just promote it. And as we got closer to the book being ready to print it and distributed and stuff, I read it and I was like, I can't tell people about this book.
Wow.
And there's nothing wrong with Tal. He wrote a great book and we worked on a great thing together. But I was like, is this a book I can really have my name on and tell like Danny Miranda and say these people like, no. And so that was the moment I had to face it, right? Can I teach other people? Can I actually have this book be really tight, right? In terms of the wording and the flow of it. Can it make a difference? And so by actually doing the work, meeting with thousands, like thousands of people on just the book, and then finally doing all the writing just by myself with assistance of all these people still, at the end, I was like, oh, yeah, I could do this.
What was the hard conversation like of meeting with Tal in that moment?
It was not good. That was a great, good point on that. So basically what happened is we've worked on the book. Like he would do a chapter, I do a thing. And then I got the book in and I said, all right, I barely had read a lot of it. I read it, but I would just do the chapter. I hadn't read the whole thing put together. And so I gave it, I wanted to get the customer. At the end of the day, business is all about your customers. So I gave it to a few beta readers and they're like, oh, there's a lot in here that doesn't sound like you. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's okay. It's written by Tal. He's Tal Ross. It's fine. And then I was like, no, let's go look at it. Go face yourself. Go look in the mirror. So I started looking in and I was like, oh, and nothing. Again, he's a fire writer. He put together, I mean, the book is, I would say a lot of the success, I do see this book doing very well because of him, among a lot of other things. And so I finally started writing the book. I finally started looking at all these things. And when I talked to Tal, though, and I try to go through it with him, we had a huge argument. We literally were going through the first sentence of the first chapter. And he was like, don't change that fucking word.
Wow.
And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, that what are you changing? I'm like, it just doesn't sound like me. That's not what I want. And he's like, fuck, man. Like, you're trying to change this shit? Like, I thought it's, he's like, it's good. And so one thing I would say is it's always great to be around people who are challenging you. And when someone challenges you, and assuming you respect them, which I highly respect Tal, it's a great moment to get better. Definitely improved me. And so it was good to have that. But I said, Tal, I need to go make the book mine. It says Noah Kagan with Tal. Like, it's not me and you versus each other. It's together. I need to go do the book my way. Frankly, I think I probably avoided him at that point. But I was like, Tal, I'm going to go off and write and edit and write, finish the book my own way. And so basically went and took what we wrote, divided it up into all the chapters, and I got 20 beta readers per chapter. And Tal was basically like livid. And I thought we were done at that point. And I paid him a fuck ton of money.
When was this?
I mean, the book was due in 2 weeks. And the publisher,
you're coming in like, yo, like, this is not what I want, and I'm doing it my way, and the book is due in 2 weeks. This is
the publisher and the deadline. Well, so a few things there. One, I'm running appsumo.com, which is a full-time job. Yeah. I've got a YouTube channel, which is a full-time job, and then this book is a full-time job, and I'm doing my best to be a great partner, which I would say until recently, I haven't really done a great job. I feel lately I've really stepped up there. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the ways, like, show up. Like, have I shown up? And so I've shown up for these things, and in the book, I think I showed up, like, what I could within all my available time. And so that was a moment where I was fortunate to be an entrepreneur and have my team, my partner. I was like, I got to prioritize this book over everything. So I need you guys to take care of this stuff. And so I pretty much kind of went off my own woods journey thing where I worked with Neville. I worked with, what was it, about 200 beta readers.
Wow.
And then took the book from 65,000 to around 40,000 words. And I think for all of us, we all have a hard thing in us that we can face. And everything we're proud of is always hard. You're never proud of the easy. And so if by doing the book, by giving it to beta readers, by working with people and being like, literally not even reading, go start your own business here. Let's do it together. I'm like, oh yeah, it works. But I had to do it my way. I had to face it my way. And then I went back to Tal after I finished it. And he's like, dude, this is not the fucking book we wrote. Wow. And then it was really fascinating though, because we both felt resentful to each other.
Wow.
He was resentful I left him and I just went off by myself. I was resentful because, like, I just paid you a lot of money and I needed it better and it wasn't the way it needed to be. And so was there a better way we probably could have done it? I don't know. I don't know, because I think the way we both approach things, like, he would have never let me change the way I wanted. I didn't want to accept some of his stuff, but I had to show up and finish the book. So if I put my name on it, I'm proud to say this is what I've created. And at the end, though, we went in Schwitz. Out of New York City, and there's the Russian bathhouses on 88th down Wall Street. And I was like, yeah, we're both resentful, but let's talk about that. And so we had a really hard conversation. He was frustrated that I left. I was frustrated. I paid him a lot and we didn't finish it that way. But at the end, what was really fascinating coming full circle around this is that we have the start here section and the ending of the book. And I showed Tal the version I wrote and I showed my editor And I think it's fascinating when we look for validation outside. Like, hey, what do you think of this outfit? When you ask someone that, you know it doesn't look good on you.
Mm.
Hey, what do you think of this end chapter? I know it's not good. That's why I'm asking. And so it was great to have a collaborator in this and that. I brought my chapter. He brought his chapter. And we were like, Tal, we need to finish this together. So we finished the start here section together. And then the end chapter was, I changed it to, I think, what 99% of books do, which is like, you've got your $1 million weekend. You're ready to be inspired now. Go out and get them. You know, like kind of the traditional like rah-rah. And I sent it to Tal and he's like, this is gobbledygook. This is dog shit. And I was like, dude, I just worked really hard. I had all the beta readers in it. And we changed it to the story of my dad dying.
Wow.
And the story's banging. I mean, it's not obviously he's dead. So it's not like I'm like trying to take advantage of his death.
I'd rather
him alive than him dead. But it was a story that is more impactful. It's a story. He's like, dude, people remember stories. They don't remember your bullshit made up stuff that's going to rah-rah.
Wow.
And by having someone who's an expert and having a collaborator. Yeah, I think the book was making me feel more confident about myself. The book really showed me I can do this hard thing. The book's something I'm really proud of.
Yeah. When you said, you know, I feel proud of myself to start this, you could feel that the book played a role in that. I could feel, and which is a really cool thing to experience. Take me through the making that the last section, being so vulnerable with the end of your dad passing away. What is that like? And then what is that like to put that in the book? Was there any resistance to do so?
Yeah, I deleted it. Yeah, of course. I mean, I deleted the whole thing. Or like there's in the beginning section, I talk about how I was high and drunk at Coachella. And that's the reason I got fired by Facebook.
Wow. And that was something you were at one point so proud of and were able to use as like, look, validate me. Yeah. I was number whatever at Facebook.
Yeah.
And now it's like, that is like, you never said that before. Like you haven't posted about that or said that that's the reason. But by showing your vulnerability, by showing your truth, it sets you free.
It liberated me. And it's been pretty cool that like something I did 15 years ago benefited me then. And it's still something I can say now. Kind of an interesting thought. With the vulnerability, I think what I noticed is I tried vulnerability as an expression. And it doesn't mean everyone, and I don't think this is for everyone. Some people share too much. I'm like, bro, no one needs to know about you and your girlfriend kissing all the time.
Right.
That's for your private. Like you go to my social media, you don't see me posting my girlfriend a lot. Like I'll put it out because she's pregnant. So we're about to have a kid, which is.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot is happening.
Congratulations. Oh my God.
You're not going to, and by the this episode's coming out. She'll be about 16, 17 weeks. I don't need that for other people.
Right.
I don't need to post my girl or that I'm having a child all the time to get validation externally. Sure. Maybe I share that. But otherwise, I'd rather just share it with people I know.
Yeah.
Rather share that here. And then, yeah, maybe a little bit I'll put out, but I don't want to live my life externally.
Yeah.
And I think many people are doing that. Me and Adam Gilbert always joke, couples who post their photos a lot break up a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for other people to be like, what a great couple.
Right.
So in terms of the vulnerability, over years, I've put myself out there and it seems like people have resonated with that. And I found for me my balance of what I feel comfortable putting out. So I didn't feel comfortable putting drinking and high. So I just changed it to partying.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine. The ending, Tal was like, look, people remember stories. They're not going to remember your inspirational thing. I don't think I felt that self-conscious. My dad passed. It's something that, you know, I think a lot of books are therapy sessions.
Yeah.
In one way or another, your book is your way of like understanding a situation or sharing a situation and working through something yourself. And what happened though from a beta reader is I shared the stories and they're like, one, I just don't need sadness. And I don't want to hear your negativity about your dad dying or talk about how I went to India because I felt lost. I'm like, it's not about necessarily being negative and vulnerable, but like, how does it help me as the reader? And I was like, oh, well, let me just adjust it a little bit. So instead of deleting it all, it was changing the India story to like, okay, how did I turn that into a positive experience for me and for them? And same with my dad, like, what's the takeaway? But do you think most books, you think about a story or two at most that really stuck with you?
A sentence often. Like literally it's one sentence that will grip someone and change someone's life that will be ringing in their head for 10 years.
That's so true. That's so true.
And so that's all good. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's just how humans are wired. And what's been the process like of the relationship, the growth of the relationship and growing to be a better partner? What's that like?
Challenging. Lately, the number one thing I keep coming back to is I say my priority is my girlfriend and our child. Mm. And I keep coming back when she's coughing or when she this morning I wanted to go exercise and I know she didn't have breakfast. And I was like, what's my priority? My number one priority is her and the kid. Okay, go get her breakfast.
Wow.
And so that's what I keep coming back to. The relationship has grown really beautifully, where we broke up a year ago. And that was the whole thing, which I'm not, that's more between us.
Absolutely.
But we broke up and it was a good moment to recognize the power of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good exercise anyone can do. Like, if you want to write a book, if you want a relationship, you want a company, commit hard. That's what $1 million means. Commit for a weekend,
yeah,
or in a relationship. Commit for 6 months. Commit hard and see what you get. And I think that's a good way to find out, like, okay, I committed really hard, but I don't want this. Like, I committed and I got a six pack. I did it with Adam Gilbert, my bodytutor.com shout out. And I was like, yo, this sucks.
I don't want this.
I don't want to eat 16 almonds at 4 and I have to do all these exercises. I don't want to live that way. That's not how I want to live. And that's okay. And the relationship has been probably one of the best things in my life. And the child is the most exciting thing in my life. Just that fact that, like, anyone can have a kid is crazy. I don't know. You don't need permission. You just go do it. I think with a relationship, I talk about it a lot in therapy. I would say what's been growing and what I love about it is, one, I have someone that I admire and respect more than love. It's not like high school or college where I'm like, oh, I'm so excited and so hot. We're having this crazy dramatic ups and downs. Just like, I admire. She has two jobs. She has two laptops open. She'll be in two Zoom meetings. Wow. Like, that's pretty impressive. Not that I want her to have a bunch of jobs, but the fact that she cares to work hard, she's really kind, all these things. So I really admire and I appreciate that. And then I think the other part is that we have hard communication. Meaning we talk, like, what's, you know, the thing from Reboot, which I love, is like, what's the unsaid thing that needs to be said? And so we're doing that pretty often, or very honest. Like, told her, like, I had a dream. I hooked up with my ex. And she was like, oh. And the first thing you say is, thank you for telling me.
Wow.
Right. And she, even another example recently, she wanted me to hug her. And she was like, hey, I just need a hug. And I was like, thank you for telling me. Because I think she felt self-conscious about saying that. And I was like, oh, thanks for, you want to reinforce the behaviors you want people to do. And so I like that she said what she was uncomfortable with. I reinforced, like, hey, that's great. And so that's been, it's been a lot of growth for me, for her. And I think I've been with her almost every day now, months now, almost for 2 months I've been with her every day. So I actually was thinking, like, man, it's going to be weird not having her around. Like, we're going back to Spain and she's going to go on a work trip. I was like, oh man, it's so weird. I'm so excited and used to having us together. And she's just a good fucking influence. Like, she'll be like, you're on your screens too much. Because I'll have like 4 screens on. I'll have like iPad, laptop, computer, and the TV on. And she's like,
you're hilarious.
Yeah, or we're at dinner and I'm checking stuff and she's like, you need to just talk to me right now.
Like, and then calls you on your bullshit.
Basically. Totally calls me on my stuff. And then at the same time, I'll also say, like, hey, when you say I need to pay attention, like, can you just also say it a little bit more sensitive? Like, last night even, I was working because there's so much going on with the book launch. And she's like, what are you doing on your computer? And I guess because, you know, we all have our own traumatic experiences, whatever you want to call trauma. I'm like, oh, you're judging me. I'm doing bad. I shouldn't be working. I should be with you now. And I was like, why'd you say that? And she's like, no. I'm on your team.
Yeah.
I just was curious what you're working on. I was like, oh, just maybe you can say that. Like, hey, I'm curious.
Yeah.
So, you know, from Joe Hudson. You know,
yeah. He's great.
Just have wonder in your communication with your partner. So I think that, among all these other things, that led to a really healthy place where, yeah, my behavior and my actions of prioritizing her and showing up for our relationship have been great.
What do you say to somebody who is avoiding a relationship or avoiding a book? What is the practical thing that they can do to lean into it or to face it?
First, they have to identify what they want and what's the hard thing they're avoiding.
Yeah.
You have to know.
Awareness is important.
Yeah. Like, what are you avoiding the relationship? Are you avoiding the girl? Are you avoiding the guy? Are you avoiding the life you actually want to live? Like, hey, I hate my job. Great.
Yeah.
That's something you can change. And you have to know what it is. Like, someone asked me about health and fitness. Like, how do you do this? I was like, dude, you have to just do the basics. And do the basics is understanding what you want to improve. Now, I'd say the second part, and this is the hard part for me when I was feeling frustrated with relationships. And I think remember we were at that party and you hugged me and I was like, fuck, dude, these relationships suck. All this stuff sucks. And I'm feeling so angry about it. And I was sober. I wasn't drinking.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, I love you. And you're an amazing guy and it'll all work out for you. Do you remember I said that?
You did. And I just didn't believe it though.
Mm.
And so I think that's the second part of this, which is how do you create optimism for yourself?
Mm.
Right? We talked about positive self-talk. I really just overall optimism. And so I remember one of my best friends, JR, told me years ago, he said, my wife is all of you, all of my best friends in one. And I was like, that does not exist. And if we can just practice self-talk, that these positive things can happen for us, like it will happen.
Yeah.
Like if you told me like, Noah, I know you don't believe it, but there is someone out there for you. Just be patient with it.
Yeah.
And so with the practical thing to do, number one, recognize your problems. Number two, just work on what that, like work on your optimism that it will exist. It will happen for you. And just each day, like, okay, I believe this can happen. Not manifest like, you know, like go to the mirror. Like if you go to the mirror and say, I want to be rich. I'm rich. You don't do shit. You're not going to get rich. Mm-hmm. You're just going to get tired of standing and looking in a mirror. And so recognize the problem, have optimism. I would say that the relationships and the other things is your behavior lining up to what you want, right? Mm. So I have a friend, just let's do an example of relationships. You recognize you want to be in a relationship, you have optimism it can happen, and then you're banging a bunch of young girls or young guys, and you're going out doing a bunch of drugs.
Right.
Okay, if you really want a relationship, is this the behavior that's lining up to that outcome? And the reality is that it's not. And so either you can accept that, which is great too. Like, hey, I want to go do a bunch of drugs and party. That's great. It's really fun. Eventually it gets pretty old, but it's fun for a while. And so I would ask the person, is your behavior aligning to your priority? And then, especially for $1 million weekend, and just in general, what's the smallest behavior you can do, just the smallest thing to move you towards that today? The tiniest little thing that builds some confidence towards that. So for me with dating, you know, I hired Stephanie Rigg, who is a dating coach. Have you interviewed? She's awesome.
No, I'd love to.
Awesome.
Dating coach is awesome.
Bro, she's fire too. Really common sense advice, really good stuff. And so it's like, what's something small? So for me with dating, this is bigger, but I noticed I was having trouble dating in New York and LA and Austin. It's like, let's try dating in a different place. So like Barcelona dating was like, oh wow, there's a lot more attractive people, a lot of really high quality people. So obviously changing cities is not a small thing, but it's a small thing like updating your profile. It's a small thing asking one friend, hey, I'm looking for dating. Do you have one person who's a female or male that's very specific that you know? And you'd actually be surprised. Is it spending 5 minutes on a dating app? Whatever it is, but just some small tiny action that can build up some momentum and confidence. So that, yeah, to your original question, how do we recognize the hard things, move forward towards it? I think that's some of the ways that have helped me with dating, with the book and in general.
Yeah, that's really helpful advice. What's the current block right now that you need to release?
That I can't make a mistake. There's something with that, especially with the book. I have a lot of confidence. Like before, when I started the book, you'd ask me, yo, is this book really going to make someone $1 million? And I'd be like,
we have to cut this off.
Yeah, editor, do your part. Just someone else to speak for me, you know, almost. But through writing the book, through recognizing of all I've done through Facebook and blah, 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 all the companies I've started, through helping literally hundreds, if not thousands of people personally since the book has been written, even before the book, I've had a course. I have the confidence there. But today we're doing a video, literally doing the book from scratch. Wow. From scratch. That's when you came in the house, you're like, dude, there's a lot of people here and all these people here. What's going on? It's like, we're doing 48 hours to make $2,733. And, one part of the section wasn't really clean. I was going through market validation. So you're trying to see, is there $1 million of profit available for you to make? And what does your business model, 1 minute model, look like to make that money? Like, what's your revenue? What's the cost, what's the expense, profit? And it wasn't clean. And I was just like, it is funny. I think you asked me in the beginning, like, how have I changed? I would say my mentality used to be all or nothing, much more. And so in that moment, I was like, well, no, you don't know shit here. And this book is shit. Look, you can have two thoughts. This is one thing I've worked on, which is like, so first I'm like, wow, I'm frustrated that this is not perfect. It's not, and I'm not a perfectionist, but it wasn't clean. Wasn't the way I thought it could be. So the block in just that moment, this is just more of a micro block, was like, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Let's go get some water. You've literally been working since the morning. Let's come back and let's just do it again. And so after this, we'll take a little more break and do it again. Now I already have a better understanding of doing it. And it's like, great. And so I think I had a little bit of a block that, can I really do this stuff? It's like, yeah, man, and it's okay. You're human. You're not a robot. And even ChatGPT gets things wrong, right? And that's supposed all the time. To be intelligence at a very artificial level. So I'd say that's more of a micro block for all of us. That like when we start something or when we're teaching something, it may not be perfect always, but then guess what? You can do it again and then again and then again.
Yeah. You know what's so cool about you is that one of your greatest skills that I've noticed is your ability to move fast and to connect. But now it seems like you've added a layer of presence and peace behind that. And so that's such a cool thing where you're like, all right, we're going to go here. We're going to do this video. And then we're going to run this company. And then but now you're like, oh, like I'm a human doing all these things really fast. And like, that's okay too.
Yeah. There's two phrases I like. One's from Joe Hudson. And it basically says, and that's okay.
Yes.
Have you heard that phrase?
I love it.
It's just a great phrase to use all the time. And so I'll be talking in, you know, you may have done something perfect or something went wrong and you're like, or you're frustrated with yourself. You're like, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I don't really know something right now. And guess what? That's okay. So that's one just to kind of, you know, all these phrases, you kind of eventually habits become norms.
Mm-hmm. They right? become so you.
Yeah. You don't even think about it anymore. The other phrase I would say, and you think like, okay, after 18 months of all this kind of progress that I should never be frustrated. It's like, no, dude, I'm still fucking frustrated. I can still feel jealousy. I can feel another thing afterwards. But at some moment, you know, it's still going to happen. Sure. But you have a better understanding of yourself. The other phrase that comes to mind very often is really about pause. Like I'm a person of action because I don't want to be alone. So if I keep moving, I'll never get caught.
Yeah.
Right? Then you don't know me. You won't see me. You won't anything me if I keep running.
Yeah.
But now if I pause, like I have to see myself. But that also means that I can make better decisions. Mm. So for instance, I was talking with someone yesterday and I was going to shit talk someone else. And I just paused and I said like, just let's, before you hit send, just pause. And let's respond. So I didn't send that message. Things worked out. And instead I would think in historically, Noah in the past would be emotion and react. Mm-hmm. And that's been something I've done over and over again. Like I got a parking ticket in the past. I got a parking ticket a week ago. And it was very hard to see where the park you're supposed to park.
Sure.
There was trailer parking and regular parking, but there's no signs. I think in the past, like the amount of anger normally would be like, when that happened, I was remembering I got a ticket or someone hit my car in college and I literally like smashed their car shoe. Then I followed him again to smash the car again. Because the person hit my car. They like scratched my car. And I remember just being so emotionally angry. And my father was like that. And now I got this ticket and I was like, huh, okay. I'm a little frustrated, but I don't have to blow up the car. I don't have to blow up the city. And also I don't think I did anything wrong. Let me take some photos. I'll send it in. If it's wrong, fine. I pay $30, but like, is this where I want to drain my energy?
Yeah.
And just that like, quick, just like 1 second pause. Doesn't mean I'm not frustrated. It's like, I even paid for parking, you know? I paid for the parking. But that pause I guess I didn't reflect on like, yeah, I'm proud of myself, coming back to it, that I didn't just rush and like get so emotional. I got this ticket. What did I do wrong? It's like, it's okay.
I can't tell you how what it means for me to see your growth. Like it is an entirely different human. And I like you as a human were amazing before. You know, and amazing now. And it's like your ability to, you have this innate curiosity about yourself.
Yeah.
And you have this willingness to be all you can be. And you have this speed and this desire. And now it's peace. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, it's not perfect. No one's perfect. Like, but it's like, this is night and day. And yeah. I'm just so grateful for you.
Well, I was thinking, it's funny as you said that, I was thinking about the ending of our last show.
Yeah.
You remember what we did?
No.
It was, you were telling me how to write down I love myself over and over.
Wow.
You remember that?
Yes, I do now. Yeah.
And I think what's kind of fascinating about that is that I think a lot of people might feel not good or feel frustrated about just different areas. And they're like, all right, well, I'm going to do a morning routine that's different. Or I'm going to write I love myself. And I don't know. I don't know if that really, like, it may not be an immediate thing.
Sure.
And I think being a little patient with ourselves, that like, hey, if we're not feeling great, if we're feeling frustrated about these different experiences, it's okay if it's not immediately great. And I think that's maybe for me where in these moments with you, even interacting, we're like, I don't have my wife. I don't have all this stuff immediately right now in this fucking moment. Everything sucks. And it's like, one, think about all the things that are great, because it really is for everyone.
Yes.
But being patient that optimistically it will work out. Like, there's a book, Learn to Optimism. A banger of a book. And it's just like, you can learn how to be optimistic. And to be optimistic, you also have to be patient, because optimism means the future will be better. And the future is only better if you can be patient that it will happen in some time period. And I think most of my 20s and 30s, it was like so much frustration that it wasn't happening right away. And things did work out, and it always worked out. It just, I was more frustrated along the way for it to work out in finding an awesome partner now, or in the work situation, all these things, they did all work out. And I think that's true for everyone. Just being a little bit like, okay, write out, I love yourself 100 times, fine, and do it every day. And if, over time, but like, be patient that it will happen. Just, you have to be okay that it's not happening immediately.
Yeah. And the patience is the bigger version of the pause. To have patience is to say, I am pausing my expectations. You love that? Like, and so
yeah.
It's a remarkable thing to witness patience in somebody who didn't have it before or was working to get it. What was the click for you of like,
yeah. Well, it's funny when we were discussing this, I'm thinking every month I do a month review.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this. I don't know if we did, but every month. So I've done this for maybe 10 years, and every month it's always the same format. So it's a rating 1 through 10 of the month, the past, the present, and the future. And the past and future are always bulleted points. Like, what are the things I said I'd do last month? What am I going to do next month? And then what are the things that happened in the current month? And so I would say in the past years of doing it, I probably averaged, and I should look at the numbers, but it's like a 7.5. And then the past 2023 specifically, it was averaging about a 9.
What's the 9 exactly?
No, so just how I'd rate the month.
Wow.
1 through 10. And so I'm trying to think of like, I think for each of us out there, right? Maybe your life is not a 10 out of 10, right? That's Tynan's a 10 out of 10. I'm a 9 out of 10. And I would say it's historically at a 7 out of 10, right? I was with a previous partner who I didn't really care for. I was not really living the way I wanted to live in a small place that I didn't have to.
You weren't proud of yourself.
I was not.
To the level you are today.
Yeah. And actually being proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And to be proud of yourself comes back again to this kind of book in general. Like, what's the thing you'd almost ask, like, what's the thing that would make me proud of myself? So for drinking even, when I drink, like, what was it? 2 nights ago, I was like, oh man, I'd love to have a drink. Like, I was with her family, and I was like, oh, it's, you know, vacation a little bit. And I was like, okay, well, you'd be proud if you have this drink. How do you feel about yourself? I was like, shut up. Let me drink your voice away. that's what comes out. And that question comes up, like, will this make me proud of myself? I was like, no, stupid. Mm-hmm. that voice is stupid. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, hey, that I wouldn't be proud of myself. So, okay, let's not do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, wow, proud of you, Noah. Good. And so for all of us, building up more trust in ourselves, saying what we're going to do, doing it, thinking about the actions and behaviors that makes us proud and doing that. And so, yeah, I was trying to reflect, like, when I should look at the monthly reviews, when did it start more consistently happening? And I think it was around the beginning of the year where I was like, changed my attitude around the work, changed my attitude with getting more involved, really putting work into the book, putting my attitude, the relationship. You know, committing to these different things that I'm kind of avoiding, and then really showing up and making them the way I want them to be. Doesn't mean I always get my way. You know, I got a parking ticket, this guy, this. But, you know, if you're frustrated with your job, what are you doing to change it? If you're frustrated with your partner, what are you doing to improve it or get out of it?
Yeah.
Or accept it, whatever that is, but working through those things.
Whenever you feel anger, fear, complaints, one useful thing that's worked for me is adding a question mark. I'm so mad at this parking ticket.
That's interesting.
Right? Like, you just add the question mark. It gets you curious back to Joe Hudson of like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And so that's what comes to mind right now.
Yeah. Pardon me.
You good?
We'll edit that out.
No, we don't need to. We can't do it wrong. No mistakes.
There are definitely mistakes. No, it's not to not have high standards for yourself and others. I was just reflecting back, like, how things started changing slowly. It was like 7s and 7.5s. And then also, you know, each week for me, I do weekly reviews. Mm-hmm. So each week I review myself on my, how did I, 1 through 5, what did I get done? Mm-hmm. How did I do just for myself? 1 through 5, how's my behavior? And then the last question is, what are the 3 things I'm going to do next week? And that's been, you know, a lot of these things, the monthly reviews, and that are ways of like, hey, in this meeting, you didn't like your behavior. Okay, cool. What are you going to do about it? Oh, okay. And guess what? You don't have to wait till next week's review to fix that. You can go tell the person you're sorry.
Like in this moment.
Yeah. And then what is it about them that triggered you? Well, it triggered me because they didn't have this. All right, let's talk about that. All right. So it's ways to kind of keep, working through all this life experience that we're all trying to figure out.
And dude, you're doing a fabulous, fabulous job of it. And I know that because I can see and feel the difference in your energy and your general peace of mind. And beyond all the book success, I'm sure this book will be a New York Times bestseller. I'm sure your company is doing incredible. I'm sure all of the external metrics are rising. But I feel and I know in you that the internal metric is rising. And that is the truthful game that we're all playing here on this floating rock in space. And because of that, I just want to thank you so much for being who you are. You're a special human. I'm really grateful to be your friend.
Thanks, man.
I used to end these podcasts with challenges. But in this new season of my life, I'm thinking about how can we make it more true? And so my mission is to expand love and freedom in the world. Okay. And you are somebody who's expanded love and freedom within yourself.
Yeah. I think it's hard to be generous with others if you're not generous with yourself.
Absolutely. So with that intention, what can you give people by way of expanding their own love and freedom within themselves in the next 24 hours if they're listening to this right now?
The two things that come to mind, I think it's internal and external, which is one, like, just say something nice for yourself right now. Mm. I know it sounds, I think about it for myself. I'm glad, even though I was frustrated with some of the filming today, to make time for this and then to go back out and, you know, I get to make a video that will inspire people.
Yeah.
And I'm proud that I'm still doing it, even though it is tough. And it's like, I'm proud that I'm, even though I didn't do one part well, guess what? I can do it again. And that's what we're going to go do after this. And then tell someone else something nice. That's an easy way to, you know, I do believe it, and people talk about abundance, and I'm always like, yeah, it's easy to have abundance when you're rich. And so, but the same is true. Like if you're sharing positive outside, it's probably easier to also feel some positive inside. And so who's one person? So my partner, Mafe, I'll go tell her as well, you know, just thank you for everything. And so, yeah, I think for people listening, who's someone out there, one person right now, that's obviously familiar. Actually, the number one takeaway is what can you do right now? Mm. Don't worry about like how it happens. Just worry about doing it. And just go tell yourself someone something right now, tell someone else something right now and see what happens.
That's beautiful.
What about for you?
Be as present to the creation of what's happening in front of me as humanly possible.
That is tough, dude. That's tough.
Or it's easy. Mm. If you remove all the insecurities, all the blockers, all the noise in your head for the things and the reasons why you can't be present, then it becomes easy. And living in that state of ease and flow is a remarkable, beautiful thing that I truly wish everybody could experience.
What do you notice is holding people back from doing that more?
I think it's being scared to be judged by the thing that they're judging themselves for. Oh, this kid shoved me into a locker senior year of high school. Therefore, that means that I'm not enough. I'm not wanted. I'm not liked. And I'm going to put that in the closet of my mind so no one sees that. And I'm definitely not going to tell anyone about it. Mm. I grew up with my dad and mom were successful and wealthy. And I don't want to tell anybody about that because if I do, that means that if I make it, I'm just going to be a rich kid who made it. And all of that, letting that go and understanding it's okay if people judge. It's okay if people have those perspectives, opinions. They don't mean anything because I have let that go myself. That is living with love and freedom. That is allowing you. It's very easy in that moment to be present to the creation of what's happening because you have nothing to hide. I'm just here, baby. We're just here.
So what is something that the person can do right now about that in the 24 hours?
I would say, sit with yourself. Sit with yourself and ask yourself, what is one thing that I don't want anybody to know? Oof. Mm-hmm. Like your body language just changed completely.
I know exactly that feeling. Yeah.
Because your body just went in because you're like, oh, I don't want to say anything about the thing that I don't want to say. Like, that's the reason why I'm not saying it. And that's the prison you are keeping yourself in right now. And yeah, it might be difficult to say it. It might be difficult in that moment. It might be, but as we've said, it gets easier on the other side and it's freedom on the other side. And you know that's true, but we still want to hold on to the thing that we can't tell anyone because we've justified it so much. And I put partying and in the book because I didn't want to say drinking and smoking because like if drinking and smoking, that was super bad. It's like, but it's okay. It's really okay. Like that you're drinking and smoking. Like I love you anyway. Yeah. You drank and smoked. And if someone doesn't love you because you drank and smoked it instead of partying, you don't need their perspective or opinion.
Yeah.
So I think looking at that insecurity, saying that insecurity to someone and just letting it go is the way to get to more love and freedom.
Yeah, keep the theme, it sounds like, from a lot of these different things, like what's the hard thing we're avoiding?
Yeah.
Within ourselves, right? I don't, you know, I have noticed like even the honesty within myself where I share with my partner something that I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I should share this, so I'm going to share it. And then I share it and she's like, thank you for telling me, like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
That makes it a deeper, more honest, trusting relationship. And then there's sometimes she's like, yeah, don't share that with me. That's guy talk. And I'm like, thank you for telling me that.
It's all information. And I think the major difference between Noah of May 2022 and today is the willingness to look and the willingness. And it's maybe not in all areas, but it's a more understanding of facing the difficult thing is actually going to be your freedom.
I would say normally I'm an avoider. Which I think is pretty universal. And, you know, one comment I'd have to make on this is that a lot of times what happens is we get to these places that we're feeling good and then we stop doing the thing that got us there.
Sure.
So for me, I'm like, well, I don't need therapy anymore. I'm great.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need this coaching and support in different areas. Like, why would I keep working out as much? Like, all these things are good. And I tell myself, and this is just a reminder for myself, but also for people out there. It's like, think about the things that are helping you get to where you are and don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop doing those things.
Those are the basics.
Those are the things that are helping you grow and stay at this place and keep evolving as a person that you like to be. And so for me, even though like I went to therapy a month ago and I was like, I don't know, man, everything's fucking good. Like, you know, I was like, girl's good, this good. And then, you know, things come up and it's like, okay, well, let's keep working through those things.
Yeah.
And then I journal on Mondays and, you know, keep some of the core things that have helped you. Like think back, because I think a lot of times in our success and where we are, we forget that like, where did that start?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, okay, well, I did, you know, even in business, like one of the easiest ways to grow any business or anything you're doing is like, what did you do that you stopped doing?
It's such a great question.
Right? We're like, oh, I used to message people every day to get a customer. How often do you do it? You know, I don't really. Okay. And so same thing with this. It's like, it's through therapy. It's through journaling. You know, I think through having positive people around me. It's like, just keep doing that.
Yeah. Keep doing that. And while you're at it, buy Million Dollar Weekend. Available wherever you get books. Amazon.com.
Amazon's wherever. You know, I think what's interesting about business is that I think of it, people have a business is one of the most fascinating ways to learn about yourself.
Yes.
And entrepreneurship specifically, whether you want to make it as a full-time entrepreneur running a company or whether it's just like a side hustle that pays for groceries, it is challenging, especially this morning. We do, you know, in the book, there's the coffee challenge and the dollar challenge where you have to ask. It's about starting and asking, which is the two things that most people miss on their entrepreneur journey. Besides that though, it's you notice by asking for things how much fear comes up in ourselves.
Yeah.
And about getting started, it's so much easier to say we're not ready and just be like, I'm not ready. And so that's only just one tiny part of entrepreneurship that leads to so many other things. But you start doing these things kind of regularly as a practice. Like I ask for discounts, I ask for people dollars. I actually got $5 from asking people on the street. And I don't even encourage that in the book. And you start realizing through entrepreneurship, it's such an interesting way of connecting with different people, learning what you're afraid of, learning that you have abilities that you didn't even realize. And ultimately realizing, I think even the most important thing is like you can live life how you want. And it's really hard to get out of that middle class life. But realizing you can, you know, I would say if you asked me 18 months ago, 2 years ago, if you thought I could be here, I was like, no, I don't believe it. And if you could just acknowledge that you recognize there's a level of life that you want to be at, it doesn't need to be a rich level. It could be like, oh man, I have a wife, two kids, I have a dog. I lived here and here. And even write that down for yourself. And then actually finally one day, hopefully you can accept that could become true. I have a daily thing I look at. So it's like, it's kind of crazy. I look at it every day and I was looking at it a few days ago, it kind of struck me. So I have like things I want to remind myself of, but I wrote vision and it said committed partnership that we have a cute little dog, live in Austin and another city in the summer, kids, God willing, have good friends around us. We're close with each other's families. We laugh a lot and do our best to make each other have a great life consistently. Work I love with great people. This can be real by 2024. Nothing to be nervous about.
Bro, I got chills.
I wrote this before I even met Mafe.
When was that? When did you write it around?
This is, I don't know, maybe 3 months even before I met her.
Wow. Wow.
And that was, this is pretty fucking cool, man.
Yeah, it is very cool. And the understanding that life will happen and things will go on, but your ability and your ability to just be with what is, and that you can have impact and change that reality in some way by virtue of writing it down or giving yourself peace or understanding. Like, it fills my heart with so much joy to know that you've actualized a vision for yourself and that you exude more peace than you did at one point. Like, to me, that's so cool. That speaks to the human condition and our ability to grow and evolve.
Yes.
And I'm so proud of you, bro.
Love you too.
I love you too.
Danny Miranda, what's going to happen in the next year?
I will continue to expand love and freedom wherever I go.
Yes, you will.
Wherever God takes me.
Did you lose weight, by the way? You definitely look skinnier.
Yeah, I started running. I was probably 185 when we did that, and now I'm 175. I love running so much.
Yeah, you're looking lean.
Thanks, bro.
You're expanding it in that way too. Or I guess you're not expanding in that way.
No, I'm expanding my running, of course. So that has caused me to contract in my physical body.
Yeah.
What's interesting, like how like monks and stuff like that will like lose weight. Like I wonder, you become like spiritually attuned, you lose weight. I think there's something to that where like fasting.
I was thinking about the fasting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, how do you get addition through subtraction? And I think that's true for a lot of our lives. We're looking around, like your clothes, like, do I wear a lot of these clothes? No, get rid of them. And then you're like, oh, I like these clothes. Great. That's the ones you have. And same with the people you work with.
Yeah.
Same with the relationships. Same with who you spend time. Same with the same cities. Just kind of all of it. Like, how much of it is really the stuff you really want around you?
Yeah. I mean, I felt so good after removing so much from my closet in the last week because of the new year. Saw Jesse at surgery. I was like, that's an amazing idea. But dude, I just have to say, like, I am so grateful for you, because when I came to your house in May of 2022, you were somebody who had followed online and somebody who had deeply impacted me because of your work and your writing. And to admire someone so much and then be able to call them a friend today, yeah, and see the full circle nature of it all. Like, I'm in awe at life and I'm so grateful for it. And I'm so grateful for you. And it was really a special moment for me that I'll never forget. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for today. And thank you so much for being you. Thanks. You're a special dude.
Thank you for I'm glad you showed up. Now I'm surprised you even take my call. I remember that, like, 18 months ago, you bugged me and I was like, you know, it's really easy to succeed in life. That's actually the thing I think is not known or not as people are like, really? I'm like, yeah, you just do a little bit more, not even a lot more, just a little. And you did, you stood out, you persisted. And I was like, I'm gonna give this guy a shot. Appreciate and I think that. Everyone has that. That's available for everyone. It's not exclusive. There's not some club.
Yeah.
And I'm proud, you know, for me, I like being around people that are at least willing to do something. And I remember you showed up and you put in the work and I was like, this guy's going somewhere. And so it's cool to see your progress over the past, I think, like now 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Able to call your friend and text you like, yo, I have a book coming out. We're going to catch up again and we'll do it again in 12 months.
You're going to write another book?
No.
That was the quickest answer of all.
No. I mean, my goal this year is to be present as a father.
Oh, I love that.
So
my heart.
Yeah, dude.
Imagine like, just my goal is to be present as a father.
Yeah.
Like, dude, the amount that will impact and ripple, like, just so much.
That's, you're right. You're
like,
right.
That is a tremendous goal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you know, I think about how am I leading by example? And I've learned this through business. Like at AppSumo, if I say something and I behave like a bitch, frankly,
yeah,
and people are like, oh, okay, I guess that's the behavior we're encouraging here.
Right.
And so the same thing in my, you know, my family life, like how am I showing up? Am I available? Am I present? Am I doing the things? How am I treating the mother? Guess what? That's what the kid's going to learn. And
yes.
So I want to be available for that in the next 18 years.
Yeah. and you're growing into it.
Yeah. I still think, I can't believe anyone can do it. You know, I can't believe anyone could have a kid.
Yeah.
I used to think I was like, man, you can just, anyone, there's no permission. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of crazy thing about life.
And you're an incredible guy to have a child. Like, really, like,
yeah,
so smart, so willing, so curious.
Keep going.
And optimistic. Dude, I just have so much love for you, truly.
Thanks, man. I mean, I think part of it is that I finally feel that for myself. I think that's the biggest difference.
Exactly.
Is that I don't, people I think in the past were like, man, you're so do this. And I was like, I don't feel that. Or like, oh, you're so good at service. And I was like, I don't think so. Yeah. Or you're so, I'm like, really? Sure?
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's not like an immediate thing, but it's like small, consistent action repeated over time. I believe it. Cause I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty fucking cool.
You were?
If you would have, no, I know. But I would say like, if you had asked me 18 months ago, I was like,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's a function of like, are we getting in life what we're getting or we're getting what we're wanting? And I was like, okay, well, I just get this girl because this is what I can get. It's like, you can have other things in life, but you have to feel good about yourself and then believe that you deserve some of these other things. And I'm not saying you deserve to be like all this stuff without that. But what I'm saying is like, I felt like, wow, I actually feel for myself I'm great.
Yeah.
And then maybe I can be with a great partner. And then I being with someone, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then I'm actually a great partner for her. And then if I'm not, I can also say like, what else do you need to be in a great partner? And she tells me, and I just do that.
Yeah. Absolute inspiration. Noah Keegan, legend. Anything else? Anywhere else we should send people to connect with you other than buy the books out of this book? Just sell it all out.
I want to
see. Let's print a billion copies.
I want to see what people are going to do. You know, that's, yeah. If you ask me with the book in a year, I'm curious what people are going to change their own lives from this. And that's what I'm excited. Like I was talking to a guy, this is weird. I think when we do things, and it's weird, but it's also not weird. There's beta cohorts of people reading the book and taking action for the businesses. And I asked people for testimonial videos for the marketing promotion that's going on. And I didn't want to watch them.
Why not?
I think I was embarrassed. And I was like, oh, there's no way it really works. And then I watched them. And I think that's a good thing to do in ourselves. Like, what's the thing that's hard? Or what's the thing we're avoiding? And then go do that. I always think of it the stupidest example, and sometimes the stupid things and the fun things are more powerful than we realize. I think of the scale a lot. Like when I feel fat, I'm like, oh, it's time to get on the scale today. Right? It's a small example of what's the thing I'm avoiding and then doing it and then realizing it. Okay, good. Now I can at least improve it. And so I watched the testimonials of when Megan, there's this guy, Jake, Neville did a video. Pat did a video, this guy in Poland. I was like, oh, wow. That was cool. Right. And they don't have to be millionaires today. Right. It's also recognizing for them, wow, like I'm making an impact. It's cool that I can be a part of their experience and I've got to help them too.
And what was it in you that wanted to resist watching it in the first place?
I think I didn't know if I could really help them. And I don't know if I really did. And watching it would be like, no, it says it couldn't. This is what the story I'm telling.
Yeah.
And so then I watched it. And I felt a little uncomfortable, but then I was just like, and I watched Pat. He's like, yeah, I was working in customer support and I've always dreamed of being a YouTuber and helping people on YouTube. And yeah, it was cool to see him do that. And then it's cool that I was like a little, you know, spark in his journey of that.
Dude, you were a spark for me in a small way for building this podcast. By the way, you were showing up, like, it's the truth.
Dude, that was like the worst show. I know you're going to say it's the best, but that was like a show I remember thinking about like, wow, it was so vulnerable. I was so uncertain. But I also think that's kind of the cool part of sharing yourself, whether publicly or not. Like with my partner, we're going to do a podcast that's private.
It's amazing.
Like it's kind of cool to be able to have reflections of your past just to see where you've come from and how far you've gone.
Yeah.
Like I went back to my old house, was it maybe 6 months ago? And I was like, holy shit, dude. This sucks. What a shithole, right? Like the ceiling's cracked, the walls are cracked, the floor's cracked. It's 800 square feet. It's tiny, relatively. And, you know, now I'm in this awesome house and I was like, wow, you've come a long way. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So it's cool to have these moments, even if we're a little embarrassed of them, to look at them. But the same thing, and also good moments, like not just taking the down, just look at the down and look at the ups.
Yeah. And it's a really interesting point you mentioned about being vulnerable and feeling upset after, because I think a lot of people after speaking to me, they feel and like going to a therapist, and especially publicly, they're like feel a vulnerability hangover of like,
yes,
like, oh my God, like I can't believe I shared myself like that. I feel so judged. I'm judging myself about the thing that I just said. And I hope to hold somebody with love and compassion and understand that like you're amazing and like you were amazing then. And like sharing yourself is part of the freedom and the work that you were doing in that moment. How do I know? Because you were scared to do it and you were uncomfortable after, like a workout.
And that also led me to recognize some of those things where I thought about, again, coming a full circle. I was like thinking about you on the bike and I was thinking about how I'm frustrated in these different areas, like during the podcast or anything. It's like, well, unless you are aware of it, like how are you going to improve it?
Yeah. So, dude, keep doing you.
Well, you too.
Really proud, really appreciative. And really grateful for our friendship.
Same.
Follow this man everywhere. And that's it.
Not literally, figuratively online.
No stalkers. Peace. All right, buddy.